Welcome to Backyard Oasis, a podcast designed by and for older adults living in the beautiful Pioneer Valley of Western Massachusetts and produced in the tech studios at Greenfield Community College in Greenfield, Massachusetts. Backyard Oasis reaches out to older adults who seek knowledge to help them live more thoughtfully, healthily, and happily, who hope to inspire others with their ideas, and who serve their communities in the interest of the greater good. We hope you join us frequently in our pleasant backyard oasis for wide-ranging conversations with a diversity of people who are growing older and want to talk about it. Hi, this is Dennis Lee. Welcome to Backyard Oasis. My guest today is Steve Raff. In real life, he's a car sale consultant, but during the summer weekends, he's a Civil War reenactor. Steve, thanks for being here.
Dennis, it's always a pleasure to spend some time with you.
Oh my goodness, I'm going to have to send you a check. I really appreciate you being here. If somebody doesn't know, I mean, you maybe can figure it out. But then there might be people saying, well, what is a Civil War reenactor? What's the situation like?
It's we call ourselves living historians. And what we do is we get together, usually at some sort of a reenactment or living history, and we represent the soldiers that fought during the American Civil War. I happen to belong to the 15th Massachusetts Volunteer Infantry. And I'm very proud of the fact that I'm the cook. I cook for the regiment, so it's a unique hobby in respects that we immerse ourselves in our particular role. We step back in time. Friday nights when we go to set up, we put our cell phones and modern accoutrements in our glove boxes. We unload our gear. We set up our tents. We break out the cast iron, and we step back into 1861 for the weekend.
Is this just in the summertime?
It actually goes year-round. There's school programs that we do, which we really enjoy. There are different reenactments nationally, just as the battles happened at different times of the year. In December, they have Fredericksburg. In October, we have Leesburg or Ball's Bluff. There's a variety of different opportunities to get together.
Right. And where are these reenactments?
National events usually take place within proximity of where the actual battlefields were: Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, Fredericksburg, Virginia, Petersburg, Virginia, a lot of towns in and around Virginia. We locally will do events at venues like parks, like we did one at Look Park here in Northampton a few years ago. Mm-hmm. But we normally do venues that can accommodate people that can set up tents, and we have room to march and present some type of a battle scenario.
As about how many people are involved in this thing for a weekend?
Well, local events were usually somewhere in the 150 to 200 total reenactors, including civilians. National events, when we did the 150th Gettysburg, there were 18,000 reenactors.
Wait a minute. There were 18,000 people at one place?
In one place. Well, in real life, at the Battle of Gettysburg, there was over 150,000 soldiers that descended on a little town of 2,400, so. But at the 150th, we had over almost 18,000 reenactors.
So you must like to drive.
Well, driving is not that big a deal. You know, it's ironic because we're a New England-based regiment. We belong to the New England Brigade, and we have our boys in gray. They belong to the Liberty Grays, which is the Confederate contingent of Civil War reenactors in New England. And we drove 10 hours to Spotsylvania, Virginia, Spotsylvania Courthouse. And as we took our places in the battle line. Ironically, we ended up confronting the same boys from New England that were the Liberty Grays. So it was kind of funny. You drive 10 hours and there's tens of thousands of you, and we end up bumping into the same guys that we fight up here. It was a little surreal.
Interesting. I know, because I happened to be at the Look Park in Florence a couple of years ago, and I had never been to a reenactment, and that was really interesting because people are really into this. You're really playing a role for like an entire weekend.
Well, the whole point is to educate the public, to hopefully create a spark in some little person's eye to get them engaged and involved and maybe want to become a participant.
Right. How did this all start for you?
Ironically, my son and I would go to Myrtle Beach during his spring break. And on the way down, since we're both history buffs, we'd stop at a Civil War battlefield. And when we come back from Myrtle Beach, we'd stop at another Civil War battlefield. When I came home, I'd recount to my wife what we had done. And she said, "Why don't we ever do that?" I said, "I didn't know you were a history buff." And come to find out, she was a history buff. Come to find out, she had ancestors. Her great-great-great-grandfather was actually in the 15th Massachusetts, which is the unit we represent. His name was Augustus Potter. Now, my wife's name is Deb, but her Civil War name is Augie. And when we do Living Histories, she represents her ancestors, Augie. But she also does a wonderful job explaining the women in the ranks. There were actually over 400 documented cases of women that dressed as men and joined the ranks of the Civil War infantrymen. That's kind of how we got involved. I started taking her to battlefields. She started doing some research on Civil War soldiers and sailors, and we found Augustus and found the 15th. Found the 15th had a reenactment regiment, and the rest is history, as they say.
So in the course of a weekend, give us a kind of a overview or maybe a time frame how it all happens. You all show up from different places.
Yep.
And then what actually happens over the course of the weekend?
Well, our regiment has representatives from all around New England. And first thing we need to do is we get all our items together. We pack up the car. We drive however far it is. If it's a national event, then we normally leave well in advance, like a day or two before the event. If it's a local event, we normally leave early in the morning. When we get there, we unpack. We set up our camps. So there'll be rows of tents for each regiment that's attending. You know, we put up our own tents. We unpack all of our gear. We bring our uniforms and our paraphernalia, our rifles, our cookware. We set up our big fly, which is a big piece of canvas. It's 17 feet by 17 feet. It's kind of like a common place for everybody in our regiment to sit and have common meals, sit and at the campfire at night, and we socialize. We have conversation, mm-hmm. which is something that is a rarity today.
Now, do you tell true stories or
well,
what's the truth?
To exaggeration.
I'm not going to ask you who is.
No, not far be it from me. We have it's hard to not get engaged in current events, but we try to keep it representative of the event we're at. Each regiment in the Civil War, whether it's Northern or Southern, Confederate or Union, has a journal of that particular regiment. And we read from the 15th Massachusetts about the event that we're reenacting. So everybody's got a good idea of what happened to our boys during that particular event. We did it when we go to national events like Gettysburg. We do it when we go to local events where we're portraying a particular battle. that the 15th or the Army of the Potomac would have been engaged in. So we try to include witty banter, but we're also we're a musical regiment. We're fortunate to the point where in our regiment we have people that play the violin or the fiddle, mandolin, guitars, banjos, the baron, the Irish drum, the tin flute, the bones.
The interesting thing is, see, Steve was trying to come up with the word the bones, and he's moving his hand.
Yeah, that's.
I can see him doing something. I didn't know if you were having
It's a percussion. It's a percussion.
I wasn't sure if you were having a problem with your hands, but then I realized you're trying to get the word out for the bones.
And so we play music. We have common meals. So we learned a long time ago that having six or eight people around a campfire trying to cook their individual meals didn't work. So we have common meals, and I do the cooking. So when we go to events, I cook for all 20 or 25 of the reenactors that are in our regiment. So I'll cook them breakfast, I'll cook them lunch, I'll cook them dinner. And for breakfast and lunch, because we have spectators walking through camp, we try to stay close to menus of the time, hardtack, salt pork, dried beef, you know, yummy stuff. And then at dinner, after the camp closes, then that's when we break out the pork chops with gravy or the steaks or the more refined palate type food.
So what happens in the course of the weekend? Now I know this is all in preparation for doing a particular battle.
Well, it's more than just a particular, because the battle lasts about 40 minutes. So, basically what that is just a lot of gunpowder going off, cannons going off, and guys running around the field and dropping like flies. The gist of it is to interact with the spectators. We also drill. So if you come to the event, you'll see how the soldiers would drill in formation, how they would form battle lines, how they would hold their weapons, how they get from point A to point B without bumping into each other. We have the civilians there that set up what they call their Camp Unity, where we've actually got school teachers, postmasters, a civilian contingent that can explain what civilian life was like when these people followed the armies. A microcosm of it all, the recruiters would come to a town like Northampton or Greenfield, and they'd assemble a company, which is 100 men. So they would take 100 men between the ages of 18 and 35 and create a company. And from that, the companies join other companies locally and become a regiment. So it takes 10 companies to make a regiment. And when they go off to battle, like from a smaller town, let's say at the time Greenfield was probably a smaller town. So if you take 100 men out of Greenfield between the ages of 18 and 35, and they become Company G, and if that company gets engaged at a very hot part of the battlefield, they could probably get as much as 50% casualties. So the 100 men that left, only half would come back. So it's we try to be representative of all of the different things that went on during that time period and try to explain it as best we can, demonstrate it, show it, and engage the people. If we can get them to actually start picking up things and seeing how much things weigh or how difficult it is to do this or do that, or see the intricacies of how the dressmaker makes the clothing. And so we try to make it it's an engaging thing and not just a Civil War petting zoo.
It seems like it's a lot of work, though.
It is.
I mean, you're talking about setting up a whole situation for a weekend. That seems like a lot of work.
We're like Bedouins. We get there, we set up camp. the next, when the event's over, we're gone. It doesn't look like anybody was there. So, you know, we're very respectful of the properties that we're on. We are proficient enough to know how to leave as little a footprint as we possibly can, but also make sure that we present and provide a good representation so that people can get immersed in the period.
So you mentioned big numbers, but most of the places that you go, how many is it? How many people are there on a weekend?
Reenactors or spectators?
Well, just reenactors.
Reenactors, depending on the event, locally, maybe as much as a couple hundred. Nationally, thousands, depending on how big the event is. And so you can have, for the most part, when we do events, they're local, because we do maybe one or two national events a year. So the local ones are, the 150-ish, 200-ish, of which you've got, 30 or 40 that are civilians, and the rest you kind of chop up. But that's kind of where we come in respects that we are what they call a galvanized unit. So we do the impression of both the 15th Massachusetts Volunteer Infantry, which is a union representation. They came out of Worcester County. And depending on attendance, we also can be the 4th Alabama out of Macon County, Alabama. So we are able to sing both Dixie and Battle Hymn of the Republic with equal enthusiasm.
Hmm. That's interesting.
We bring both blue and gray to local events.
What do you, or what have you learned, things that you didn't know, what was it like? I mean, all of a sudden you were reading about history, but then you started this. What have you learned that was never even in your consciousness before?
I think the thing that originally attracted me to the period was, Dennis, today we've got more ways to communicate with each other than we've ever had in the history of mankind.
I'm not sure if that's good or bad, but that's a whole other story.
That's a whole other story.
Yeah,
because instead
right.
of getting good at it, we're
yep.
not.
Yep.
We're going just
yeah,
the opposite.
Yeah.
But back then, they had only two forms of communication. They had the spoken word and they had the written word. And when you read the letters of these brave boys, and they were boys. I mean, these were kids that were kids. And they were fighting for ideas, they wanted to preserve the Union. When you think about it, it's not like we're fighting for territory. It's not like we're fighting for goods they're fighting for a concept. And the thing that my biggest takeaway from my hobby with all of this is when we drill and we form battle lines and we approach the enemy, how brave these guys must have been. Because when we do it, it's make-believe. I mean, yeah, it's real gunpowder and they're real rifles, but we're not shooting bullets at each other. Otherwise, it would be a very limited hobby. And the thing that amazes me, or constantly amazes me, is the bravery these young men had to march into the face of muskets and cannons and in hopes that, if we can just take that one hill, we can probably go home, which is really all they wanted to do was survive and go back home.
So you just got a better appreciation of what they did. I mean, you knew that and you had an interest, but when you got into this, it really became part of your being, huh?
Well, yeah. When you go and visit a battlefield, you try to visualize. When you watch a movie, you get a kind of an idea. But when you are walking in the ground that they walked, and you're in a battle line with other men, the reality hits you that in real life, this wasn't pretend. This was the highest act of bravery that I can possibly imagine.
I remember an experience that I had that really surprised me. I had the pleasure of doing a cruise up and down the Mississippi many years ago now.
It's on my bucket list.
And we went to Vicksburg. And, and we took a bus tour, and they explained about the battle and where the troops were coming from, and it really brought history alive, which is what you're doing, right? But when they went to the visitor center, for whatever reason, I just happened to walk out under this tree, and there was nothing but tombstones on this beautiful day. And Steve, it amazed me because it had an effect on me. I had never really thought about it. I knew a little bit about the Civil War, what heard stories, or maybe a teacher talked about it. But I remember walking away from there saying, boy, these are all American people. And I walked away, and I don't know if I had tears in my eyes, but it was close. I shook it off and went back to vacationing. But it really had an impact.
Every battlefield I've been to, there's energy there. There's so much happened in such a short period of time with such young lives that I don't think the energy ever really leaves. And it's humbling. It's reverent. It's an experience that if you can ever go to a national, any kind of a battlefield, it doesn't need to be Civil War, Revolutionary War, anywhere that type of outcome happened where people lost their lives in a blink of an eye, it can stay. Colonel Chamberlain of the 20th Maine has got a wonderful, wonderful quote that I'm trying to find. And it's about how he was at the commemoration of the 20th Maine Monument at Little Round Top at Gettysburg. And it was about in places great deeds are done and remembered. And we know not who they are for, but that does not negate the fact that so much was given and so much was suffered. And in these great places, great things reside. And it's, you can feel a presence. And I think that's probably the best way that I can describe. It's an energy that is just, it wraps around you. Mm-hmm.
Does it translate when you leave? Maybe this is a weird question. I thought about this driving in today because you might well say, no, you know, I do the Civil War reenacting and then I go home and I go back and I'm helping people sell cars. That's what you do in your real life. You've been doing it for years.
Yeah.
But I know you're a people person, which I hate that phrase because everybody uses it, so I'm sorry I use that. But I know you really care about, if we bring it to present day, I know from things that we've talked about, just about business, and I know you really care about people. Does it translate somehow from what you see on the weekends when you go back to real life? Does it have it? You might say no, but
let me see if I can't answer that question.
All right.
The boys that marched off to battle, almost to a man, tried very hard to bring their very best each and every engagement. They drilled until everything became second nature. They became very proficient. As the war progressed, these citizen soldiers got very good at what they did. And they did it for each other. They did it as modern warriors do today. When, you know, our soldiers go off, they go off and they fight for each other. And it's about bringing out your very best because you don't want to leave anything to doubt. And I know it's to talk about fighting in a battle versus selling an F-150 pickup truck. There's really no correlation there other than what I try to instill in all of the people I engage myself with is to bring your best every day. Don't sell yourself short. You know, try to do the best and be the best version of you that you can be.
Which is not easy.
No.
Day in, day out.
Only because we're, you know, human beings and we're subject to the frailties of being right. human and taking the easy right. way.
Yeah, that's interesting, though. I'm glad you had an answer. I really didn't know if you would have an answer, if everybody would say that. Most guys that have been at these battles, do you think most people would think that way? Or most people just go home and, well, that's my hobby, and then I go and do what I do?
To a person, you know, we have the good fortune of, It's a very close community, the reenacting community, Civil War reenacting community, and we know each other very well, and we're all pretty much there for the same reason. There's a part of us that wants to make sure we represent the boys of 61 properly, and that we educate the public properly. But there's Dennis. There's also a part of us that wants to be an 8-year-old boy running around, you know, firing rifles and pretending.
Mm-hmm. So is that a negative? Because I'm thinking that's play. You're talking about something that's much deeper, but that's, oh, isn't this fun? But we're talking about people dying.
But none of us die. The reality is, well, hopefully.
What you're portraying is what's happening. Yeah.
But, you know, in order to stop and think for... Dennis, I'm 72 years old, and if it's July and it's 90 degrees out, and if I'm going to get myself dressed up in a wool coat, wool pants, wool hat, and carry around a 10-pound musket, there's a little part of me of wanting to be an 8-year-old boy that helps me accomplish that.
Hmm. All right.
And any reenactor that tells you different isn't being honest with you.
Oh, but I'm glad you expressed that, though. Because I bet your people would be thinking, how do people think about this? This is not play, but it's for a purpose with regard to reenacting.
Well, the very word itself, reenacting, got acting in it. All of us that are thespians want a few minutes of enjoying the role.
Right.
So,
yeah. What's the old line? You belong on a stage and there's one leaving in 10 minutes. That's the old line, right?
Similar.
I was going to bring up one thing that happened to me. A friend of mine who had a role in doing reenacting, and he told me about going down south, maybe to Richmond or somewhere, mm-hmm. and he said it wasn't play for some of these people.
Interesting story.
Matter of fact, the director of the whole weekend came up to him and said, some of these guys are still fighting the war. I've got your back if there's a problem.
That's a truism. That's a truism. When we did the 150th Manassas, Battle of Bull Run, we went down as the 4th Alabama because the 15th wasn't at that particular battle. And as we formed to the regiment that we were portraying, and we marched onto the battlefield. Now, the battlefield, because it's a reenactment, consists of a big wide open area with cannons and horses and cavalry and all kinds of stuff going on. But the spectators sit in the bleachers very much like a football stadium. And when we marched onto the battlefield, we were introduced over the PA as the 5th Virginia, and we got a standing ovation. As much as we like to think that the war is over, and that, no, there's still, the cause is still very much alive down there. Not that we felt we were in any danger at any given point in time, but the deep down inside the individual spectators, they were very proud of their heritage, which they should be.
Mm-hmm.
Which they should be.
Is there anything you wish I'd asked you that I forgot to ask you? Anything you wish you want to express? Because I know you, by the way, I've seen Steve at one of these reenactments. This was several years ago in Florence, Mass. At Look Park. And he was speaking to kids. He did a segment with a bunch of kids, and he got up and he spoke. And I think I've told you over lunch one day, you were terrific because you just talked to the kids and you made it really easy for them to understand. So I know you love talking about this. Did I miss something that you wish I had asked you?
When I look back at my almost 20 years of doing reenacting, if I had only one opportunity to make something different, it would be I wish I'd gotten into it earlier. It's a most enjoyable hobby. It's a very family-friendly hobby. I've seen kids grow up in the hobby. We're fortunate in respects that, you know, there's a bunch of old codgers that are gimping around, like myself and some of the boys that have been there for the 20 years. But there's also, you know, it's a family hobby. So we've got soldiers that bring their wives that stay in the civilian camp and the kids, and the kids grow up and they eventually become soldiers and they become reenactors. And it's the type of thing, if you've even got a little inkling that you might want to just see what it's all about, next time go to the website. Can I plug this?
Yes, because how did you know he's psychic, ladies and gentlemen? Because my last question was going to be, if somebody wants to get involved, how do they do that?
Get online, and you want to punch in the 15th MVI.com, and it'll take you to our website. And on there, there's all kinds of things where you can look through and see our schedule. And who to communicate with, and how to get involved, and if it's something you want to come and spend a day and see what it's about. If you want to come spend an hour, and we have what we call company gear. So Dennis, if you wanted to show up, we could get you dressed up in a coat, pants, belt, cartridge box, rifle, give you a quick tutorial on how to march, and you could spend the day walking around in wool and seeing what it's like, See what the people are like, and you know, it's a hobby that is just a very enjoyable way to spend a weekend.
This has been a very enjoyable half hour, Steve Raff. I'm glad I know you, and I'm glad you're able to tell us. Glad you're able to tell us about reenacting. It's pretty interesting, and I know you care about it. And thanks for taking the time. And I want to thank everybody for listening to Backyard Oasis.
50,000 strong, while we were marching through Georgia. Hurrah, hurrah, we'll bring the jubilee. Hurrah, hurrah, the flag that makes you free. So we sang the chorus.
This concludes today's podcast. We're always looking for new ideas, so feel free to reach out to Judy Raper, Associate Dean of Community Engagement at Greenfield Community College at 413-775-1819 if you have an idea you'd love to share. Special thanks to the creators of Backyard Oasis, Denise Schwartz, Chad Fuller, Dennis Lee, and Christine Copeland. Have a great day.